Our guest in this week's edition of One on One is Pilsner Urquell's Chief Executive Officer, Mike Short. Mr. Short, originally a nuclear engineer, joined the South African beer producer SAB Miller in 1990, after a career stretching from the aerospace division of Rolls-Royce to the submarine service of the Royal Navy. Before coming to the top Czech beer producer in 2005, Mr. Short was the head of the Hungarian Dreher Brewery, another member of the SAB Miller Group. My first question for Mr. Short was obvious. Is the submarine service a good starting point for a career in the beer-making industry?
It sounds a long way away, I suppose, but I think in many ways, yes. It's a very closed environment in the submarine, so you're forced to learn skills around management and how to deal with problems in a small community, how to deal with issues that are, in that situation, life-threatening. Obviously, we don't get much life-threatening stuff in the beer industry, but it forces you to learn how to manage people. And I found that part of submarine service the most interesting. You were in confined spaces. We were submerged for 6 to 8 weeks at a time. So there was a long period where you were forced to rely on each other. So you learn about interdependency. You learn how that every person on board that submarine depends on every other. It's a strong hierarchy, but it's not the command and control situation as you might get in the army. It's much more, in a way, camaraderie and people helping each other. So for me, it was very formative in learning about interpersonal management styles.
You served in the submarine service in the 1970s. Did you ever get close to any combat situation, as it was the Cold War?
I don't know. And again, that sounds strange, because the submarines I were in were the Royal Navy patrol submarines. And we were, in fact, in a position to launch an attack in the Cold War situation that was around then. So our role was to stay quiet and deep and undetected. The job was to stay out of trouble, but to be in a position to launch the missiles should you have to. It's quite terrifying when you think back to it, but that was the time we were in. So we weren't there as combat submarines, but several submarines used to come back with damage to the hull or damage to the fin, and only the captain and the officer of the watch might well have known the situation. So there were things going on, definitely.
Before becoming the CEO of Pilsner Urquell, you were the head of Sub Miller Breweries in South Africa and Hungary. What are the differences between managing people in South Africa on one hand and in Central Europe on the other?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think in South Africa we had fascinating intercultural questions. With Nelson Mandela as president, he introduced 11 official languages. And this was typical of his way of dealing with multicultural issues. It sounds crazy, but it was a stroke whereby he took away the issue of language. So we worked in parallel with the transition of South Africa from an apartheid-ridden country to a free democracy. Working in industry during that period was extremely exciting, and it allowed the intercultural diversity to become an asset rather than to become a burden, which it had been forced to be under apartheid. Central Europe also went through a similarly traumatic experience, I think, with the end of socialism and the starting of the free market. And I think in that period also had to learn how to break away from a dominant regime that suppressed personal ambition and suppressed personal initiative into an environment where each person learns how to manage himself and work with his partners. There was quite a way to go in terms of interracial tolerance across Central Europe and across Europe, for that matter. Europe is still generally quite tribal. One of the challenges ahead of the next 20, 30 years is to learn the best of each culture and how we can blend those cultures. And I personally believe the European Union is an instrument for doing that. I see big changes already, but I think that is the evolution forward ahead of us. Working in Hungary first and now working here, for me, is fascinating to watch year by year how there are changes in this respect.
Your company has more than a 50% share of the Czech beer market. What is your ultimate goal? Do you want it all?
51% for the short term would be fine.
What would you say in response to all those complaints about the unification and globalization of the Czech market, the fact that the small brands are disappearing and nowadays in many places the only beer to be had is the one made by your company?
I would challenge that. There are 40 brewing companies in this country, and this is absolutely exceptional. Even Germany is becoming much more conglomerated. But I think this country has retained strong local breweries that have very strong positions in their hometowns and home regions. And even though they may not be big on a national scale, there are many, many very, very, very strong and loyal customers and consumers around each city of the country through its own local brands. And that's fabulous. And it gives diversity and it gives alternatives to all the brewing companies. The support that global brewing companies bring, and the way SAB Miller has tried to manage with Plzeňský Prazdroj, is to preserve everything that's good around Prazdroj.
With all the new technologies you're using, would you say the beers you make, especially Pilsner Urquell, is the same as it used to be some 10 or 15 years ago?
Yeah, we've gone for very modern technology. However, the recipes are absolutely traditional. So I say to people, it's a bit like taking your grandmother's favorite cake recipe and cooking it in the modern kitchen. The great thing about this is that whereas your grandmother hoped to get a temperature of, say, 75 degrees C, she would never be able to get it. It might have been 60 degrees C or 80 degrees C for cooking her cake. We can get 75 degrees C every time. So, in fact, you're able to execute the recipe exactly as it was intended every time. And that's the advantage of modern technology. However, the recipe, as I say, the ingredients, the purity of the recipe are absolutely as Josef Grohl defined it back in 1842.
Are SAB Miller breweries in the Czech Republic using Czech raw materials, hops especially?
Yes, hops from Žatec and Czech barley, of course.
The preference of beer drinkers here and abroad, are they the same, or do you find that some brands of your company are more popular here and others perhaps abroad?
I think tastes in beer abroad are a bit more bland. A lot of people are a bit taken aback at first by the high bitterness of Pilsner Urquell, for example. But when they get used to this balanced bitterness and matching high sweetness of the brand, they can see how the flavor profile is far more interesting than a lot of the European beers that are drunk in those countries, particularly as you go further west. If you go to the States, as you know, there's a very, very low bitterness brands. Typically, for example, a mainstream American beer would have a bitterness unit measure, as we use it, of around 8. Pilsner Urquell is 37. So there's a quite different balance of hop and type of hop, which is the bittering agent of beer, together with the caramel sweetness that we get to match that in our brands. So we produce, I think, here a very rounded flavor, a flavorous beer that people who are not used to it grow to like over a period of time.
Is Pilsner Urquell going to be more expensive next year?
Well, we put the price up on the 1st of November, as I'm sure most people know. And that was a response to the dramatic increase in the price of barley and hops. And as for next year, I can't say. You know, to be honest with you, we have to see. There's an ongoing increase in prices, in cost of raw materials and cost of energy, which is moving food and beverage prices generally forward in this country. We don't like to see it, but we have to keep looking at it and understanding the impact on the performance of our company.
You've lived here for almost 3 years now. Did you find it difficult to settle in the Czech Republic at the beginning?
Whenever you go to a new country, and I've lived in 7 countries in the world, it always takes a while to understand people, how people think, how things work. It takes time to find one's way around. But I think Prague, living in Prague, which I do, I live in Prague and I work largely in Pilsen, I have the best of both worlds. I think Prague is the most beautiful city. Czech people are very agreeable to work with, very pleasant people, easy to communicate with and talk to. And I enjoy the Pilsen environment. I think that town is fabulous and it's really been developed as a very strong provincial town. And we have, hopefully, ongoing good relationships with the mayor, with the mayor's office, with the authorities in Pilsen. So to me, I love the country. I love the people. I love the environment. I love the scenery. And my wife and I are very happy here.
As one of our listeners pointed out, the Pilsner Urquell labels actually say brewed in Pilsen, Czech. Is that the way you prefer to call the Czech Republic?
It's a controversial question. I've been asked that. I think we didn't think about whether it was a problem or not. I mean, clearly, I always say Czech Republic. It's open for debate. I mean, nothing is changeable. That wasn't meant for any particular reason that kind of happened by the time when we first wrote the label. Whether we should write Czech Republic or not, I don't know. I think it's quite a clear message anyway. I'm not sure it's a relevant issue. I'm not sure it's a problem, but I'm always open to ideas.